It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This week, one of the largest mines in Wyoming County closed. That means there will be a significant impact there and the surrounding communities.
When this, the money that normally comes into this, you know, into these counties per year by the people that work there, well, it'll be a large, large hit.
That story and more coming up on this West Virginia morning. Last week, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, the UN body that provides objective scientific report on climate change, issued a grave warning. Humans are running out of time if we are to prevent the worst impacts of global warming. While the report took a global view, here in the Mountain States, scientists can already see the impacts of climate change. Brittany Patterson sat down with one climate scientist to learn more.
Compared to much of the world, which is bracing for more extremes, the prognosis in West Virginia is more of a mixed bag.
In many portions of the world, increasing temperatures are the main focus, but I don't think that that's true here in West Virginia.
Evan Cutta is the Climate Sciences Program Manager for WVU's Institute of Water Security and Science. He studies the impacts of climate change and climate variability on the state. And he says, over the last century, West Virginia has undergone pretty significant changes.
West Virginia's climate has become milder, with warmer winters, cooler summers, and generally more humid conditions year-round.
But unlike many parts of the world that are bracing for more droughts, water is not expected to be scarce here. And that presents both opportunities and challenges.
I think that the water resources were already great in the state, and they're expected to get better. And it's really important that we protect that very valuable and precious resource.
Cutta says with proper planning and research, the changes associated with global warming could present some opportunities for West Virginia's agriculture and outdoor recreation industries.
It's not all a grim picture.
On the one hand, the good news is that warmer winters could result in a longer growing season that could support a more diverse variety of crops. On the other hand, wetter soils and increasing cloud cover can also pose challenges for agriculture.
Here, we're having cooler summer temperatures and more precipitation, so we're actually increasing the amount of soil moisture available for plant growth.
In fact, the impacts of a wetter West Virginia are already being observed across the state's forests. Scientists see changes in the types of tree species putting down roots in West Virginia. For example, oaks are being replaced by maples.
And maples are more vulnerable to droughts, but the increasing number of maples trees in the state indicates that droughts are becoming less severe and water resources are becoming more abundant.
While more moisture could bode well for our forests and the state's water recreation industries, Cutta says there's a flip side too.
The flooding that happened two summers ago in 2016 was truly severe, and that could be something that we see more often.
The IPCC report stresses that if people across the world want to prevent 2.7 degrees of warming, greenhouse gas pollution must drop significantly. Burning coal for electricity, which is the most carbon-intensive source of fuel, would have to decrease from almost 40% today to between 1 and 7% by 2050. That could greatly impact West Virginia. But Cutta says the state could also play a significant role in mitigating climate change.
When it comes to renewable energies, in my own opinion, I think the state needs to exploit the rugged terrain of the mountain state.
The ridges of the Allegheny Mountains could be prime wind turbine real estate. Abundant water resources could support hydroelectric generation. And Cutta says West Virginia is even rich in geothermal energy.
It's actually from all of the wells that have been drilled in the state. They've found temperatures in excess of 150 degrees Celsius, just a couple kilometers below the surface, which would be suitable for commercial scale energy production if the funds are available.
Overall, the new IPCC report paints a rather grim picture. The scientists who put it together looked at more than 6,000 published studies and found that over the next two decades, the planet is on track to see those global temperatures rise nearly 3 degrees above where they were prior to the Industrial Revolution. And when that happens, the world can expect food shortages, wildfires, severe droughts. Coral reefs will experience mass die-offs, and millions of people living on the coast will need to relocate. But the authors also say that doesn't have to be our future. But the world needs to act fast.
It's a problem that's bigger than each individual, so we need to be working together as a group to solve this truly enormous challenge.
And it's an expensive one. The report estimates the cost of not preventing global temperatures from rising above 2.7 degrees will cost some $54 trillion in damages. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
Hundreds of miners have been laid off, effective today, following a mine closure in Wyoming County. As Molly Bourne reports, the news is a blow to the region, and some miners are now considering getting out of the industry altogether.
On Monday afternoon, three employees at the Pinnacle Mine near Pineville, Wyoming County, were standing outside the mine bathhouse talking about their future. The guys wouldn't do an interview, but one seemed shaken. He described the mood as somber. They and roughly 300 others were about to be laid off. Another 90 had already been let go in late July.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
Another worker, Stan East, had just ended his shift and was pulling out of the lot. He got the news from night shift, right after he came out from underground. The mine's operating company, Tennessee-based Mission Coal, filed for bankruptcy.
I just a little stressed about it.
East lives in Princeton, in Mercer County. He's married with three grown kids, and he's worked at Pinnacle for 10 years. His dad worked here too. But now the instability is taking its toll.
I'm just going to do something different. It's been up and down since I've been here. And, I mean, coal's good now, but I'm 46 years old. It could, for 3 to 4 years, it could go back the same way, you know. You're looking for another job.
Pinnacle didn't close because of a lack of coal at the mine. Phil Smith, a United Mine Workers of America spokesman, says management stopped production because water was building up in the mine. Getting the remaining reserves would mean installing a new shaft and other expensive processes. Some buyers were looking into purchasing the mine, but ultimately decided against it. In a press release last week, Governor Jim Justice said he hopes the mine can reopen and that he's, quote, working on it. He says he's asked the State Commerce Department to get involved as well, but what those efforts might look like aren't clear. Pinnacle was one of the largest employers in Wyoming County, drawing from a workforce from McDowell and other neighboring counties. According to the Wyoming County Assessor, the county will likely see a $1.4 million loss in machinery, equipment, and inventory tax revenue, and another $51,000 in real estate taxes. The school district will lose $1 million from its budget. Superintendent Deirdre Klein is trying to remain hopeful, but says the situation is bleak.
It does have a very detrimental impact on our families, therefore the children that we serve whose parents, work or have livelihood from that coal company, but also in a general sense to our whole economy of Southern West Virginia, specifically here in Wyoming County.
Bobby Bowman is the president of the local UMWA chapter, one of the largest in Southern West Virginia. He's been sharing regular updates with his Pinnacle community on his Facebook page and by phone. We took a break to talk in the Wendy's parking lot in Welch, McDowell County.
So you're looking at Wyoming, McDowell, Mingo, Tazewell County, Mercer County, and Raleigh County. It's going to take a big hit when the money that normally comes into this, you know, into these counties per year by the people that work there, well, it'll be a large, large hit.
The union has had two meetings with the UMWA Career Center to help displaced workers.
A lot of people have quit and went and found other jobs in mining. There's a lot of them there at the moment. So the impact for some won't be as bad.
But some, like Stan East, might leave the industry altogether. He says he'll get $5,000 from the Career Center to help train for a new job. Bowman says he'll probably move on too. In an interview earlier this month, James Mullins, another Pinnacle miner, described a stressful situation for his wife and three kids. And he's also thinking of getting out of the field.
Right now I'm updating my resumes and hoping I can find a job soon. I'm not really prepared.
A message left in person for the mine manager went unreturned, but Mission Coal did send a statement. It didn't mention Pinnacle by name, but says the bankruptcy was, quote, a continuation of its efforts to stabilize its business. According to Smith from the UMWA, Pinnacle employees will be paid any wages they're owed, even though the company is in bankruptcy. The company's filing includes a provision to allow for that. They'll get 6 months of health insurance coverage from the layoff date. Smith says the company will keep 60 workers to run the on-site preparation plant. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Molly Bourne in Wyoming County.
Much of the wastewater from West Virginia's gas industry is trucked across the border to Ohio, contributing to more than a billion gallons of fracking wastewater injected into deep wells there just last year. Residents in at least one Ohio county say they've had enough. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant reports.
Michelle Gurman used to marvel at the 22 acres of land around her home in Vienna, Ohio, less than 10 miles from the Pennsylvania border.
I would lean out my back window and look and say, oh my God, you know, I've never dreamed of owning this much land.
Gurman didn't know much about fracking then, let alone frack waste injection wells, but she remembers New Year's Eve 2011 when a magnitude 4 earthquake shook nearby Youngstown.
Oh my God.
That's a YouTube clip by a Youngstown resident. Around a dozen smaller quakes followed. The state determined that these quakes were from an injection well. That's where fracking wastewater is trucked in and pumped into deep wells under high pressure. The well believed to have caused the Youngstown quakes has since been permanently closed. But Garman's view really changed in 2013 when an injection well was built on the property right next door.
You're looking at tanks and cement and fencing. It was trees and deer and turkey.
Gurman says big trucks carrying chemical-laced wastewater squeal in at all hours. Today, you can hear the pump from her yard. And Gurman fears for her family.
How does it affect our health, my son's health? I mean, it is toxic, what they're putting in. I mean, that is plain and simple poison that they're pumping into the ground.
Gurman says her concerns didn't get much response from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, known as ODNR, the agency with authority over the oil and gas industry. And few leaders in Vienna wanted to criticize the local company, Cleese Development Associates, that built the well next to her. But then,
state agencies are looking into an oil spill in Vienna Township that killed dozens of animals and polluted a wetland.
It was another injection well owned by Cleese. Gurman says neighbors contacted her for help.
People were scared. Can I drink the water? Can I bathe my children in it? Can I cook with it?
In Ohio, there's no local control of the oil and gas industry. The ODNR is in charge. The state forced Cleese to shut in the injection well, and it's still closed. The company could not be reached for comment. This day, leaders from townships in Trumbull County are gathered at the gazebo in Brookfield Town Square. Brookfield Township Trustee Gary Lease is coaching people to send letters to lawmakers in Columbus.
This goes to the House.
They want legislation that would stop more injection wells in Trumbull County, which already has 17, among the most in the state, with 6 more in the works. State Representative Glenn Holmes is here. He says people are fed up and references a petition against a plan for 5 injection wells in Brookfield Township.
About 8,000 people with 5,000 signatures. They don't want it.
Holmes has 2 bills in the Ohio House of Representatives. One, introduced last spring, would divert more than a third of the fees Ohio collects from other states' frack waste disposal to local governments. Last year, fees for this waste brought in more than $650,000. Holmes says counties should get a cut.
So you have the truck traffic, you have the noise, and you also have the stress and the tensions. Is this going to cause an earthquake? Is my aquifer or my well going to be polluted because of this?
More recently, Holmes introduced another bill to stop ODNR from permitting any more injection wells in Trumbull County. Ted Auk doesn't think that's a good idea. He's with the nonprofit Frack Tracker Alliance. He worries that a cap per county would actually open up more of the state to injection wells. And Auk says money from fees should be spent on inspectors.
You can't have your number of inspectors be static and your number of wells go up, up, and away, because that means the ratio of number of wells per inspector is going up.
Elk warns that Ohio has become a dumping ground for other states' fracking wastewater. The ODNR says it has strong regulations for injection wells, but declined an interview for this story, as did the Ohio Oil and Gas Association. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.